So as we talked about last week, Advent, the term Advent means to wait. And we wait for Jesus. We wait for Messiah. We wait during Advent 4 weeks, right? We wait this last week, this next week, the week after next, and then it's Christmas the week after that. Right? 4 weeks, 28 days. That's how long we wait. For the Jews, it had been 400 years since God last spoke to them. 28 days versus 400 years, it doesn't seem fair. During that time, the Jews would have had several different ideas of what Messiah would have been like, how he would have come, where he would have come from. But as Andrew read earlier, I don't think one of them, there's probably not one of them who thought that Messiah would be born into obscurity. Bethlehem? Of course, the prophet had said that's where it would be, but how and why? No one knew. Watch this.
In some of the best stories, places become more than just backdrops for the action. They become characters themselves. Unyielding mountains, unpredictable seas. And in the story of Christmas, a tiny town that birthed Israel's greatest king, and the king who was yet to reign. David's birthplace was so insignificant that it could easily have been lost to history, swallowed up by Jerusalem just 5 miles away. But God made a promise to this little town through Micah, the prophet. Bethlehem, God said, you are smaller than most of the towns in Judah, but from you will come for me. A ruler over Israel. So little Bethlehem waited, ready for the birth of her second king, the promised one of God.
To a young couple who didn't really understand what was happening to them or what they were getting into, I think. I think that even though they didn't really have a complete grasp of what was going on, that Mary and Joseph somehow understood that the world was about to change. And if they didn't understand it, they were about to. Jesus brought with him the life that God ultimately wanted us to have. And with that came peace, which is our focus this morning. The peace of God which transcends all understanding, the peace of God which gives us reason to celebrate, the peace of God which calms every fear.
Thank you.
morning we're going to read once again from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So if you're able, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word as we read this passage together. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for Jesus, who came that night so long ago to bring us peace in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, you've come that we might be free from fear. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to relish in that and to believe that. Help us to walk in that truth today and every day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So peace came the night Jesus was born. Not so much in the government or in the nation, but the angels sang about that peace when they said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill towards all mankind." But what is this peace? What is it really that God was offering the world the night the Savior was born? As we look at the passage that we just read, it was peace with God. Amen? It was a healing of the relationship between God and all of mankind. Men, women, boys, girls. The relationship that was severed through the sin at the Garden of Eden is now available to be restored. So let's begin by defining what we mean by peace. And then we'll talk about where that peace comes from. Peace, defined, is not the absence of conflict. You've heard me say this over and over and over again. We like to think of peace as, okay, there's no war, we're not fighting with our family, everyone's at peace, right? But that's not how God defines it. It's not the absence of conflict, it's the absence of fear. We no longer need to be afraid of God because we have been justified by faith. Now, please understand, when I speak of fear here, I'm talking about being afraid. Being afraid of retribution, being afraid of judgment, being afraid of condemnation. We do not need to fear that. We fear God because in the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? We and that fear we define by the idea of respect or honor or praising God. But it is that peace is defined by an absence of fear or a relationship with God. A relationship where we want to be involved in His life and He wants to be involved in ours. A relationship in which we sometimes push God away to our own detriment. A relationship where sometimes we decide we don't want to have God with us, but yet when we allow Him to be a part of our lives, we then experience the peace that He offers. As we look at the passage that we read, and as we look at this, right, we understand that there is a sense in which being justified through faith, we have peace with God, and peace in the midst of all of this stuff that Paul reiterates here in these five verses, right? Peace and suffering. Suffering is difficult. we don't like to talk about suffering, and yet we've talked about it 2 weeks in a row now. Last week we talked about how in our suffering we have hope in our suffering as we walk through it, as we walk through the suffering bringing forth perseverance, and perseverance bringing forth character, and character bringing us hope, right? But as we walk through that, as we have walked through that, as we develop our hope through suffering, we then have peace as we go through it. Because we know what the end result is. We know that in God we have the peace that to walk through that suffering, knowing that God is at work in our lives, knowing that as we go through it, God is at work. I'm sorry, I went through those very fast. I'll put those up. If you want to write these down, I'll leave them up here for a second. But peace, the peace that we have as we walk through suffering is something that is beyond what we ourselves think of. We have we have God at work in our lives, right? So as we walk through the suffering, we have this unequivocal, unreasonable, even sometimes, peace, right? Paul called it the peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that doesn't make sense, that as we're walking through this suffering in our life, there's no way we should have peace. But we know that we have peace because God is working in our lives to help us become all that He wants us to be. It's that chipping away, as it were, as God works on the masterpiece that you and I are. We have peace and suffering, but not only so, look at what else he says here in verse 5. He says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through what? Through the Holy Spirit." Brothers and sisters, peace comes through having the Holy Spirit of God in us. He lives within us. Let me share with you a passage of Scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. And this is what God has to say to us. He says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, listen to what Paul says here. Paul reminds us of the fact that we are free through the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, he says, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from depression. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from fear. There is peace that comes when we are walking in the Spirit of God. God brings us peace. The Holy Spirit brings us peace. How? How
does the Holy Spirit bring us peace?
Well, when you feel stress during this holiday season coming up, take some time. Take a pause. And just breathe. When you feel the worry of your circumstances beginning to wrap its tendrils of fear around you, take a pause, breathe, and cry out to God for His peace to reign in your heart. When you feel like the whole world is spinning out of control and you simply don't know what to do, take a pause, breathe, cry out to God, and just be still and know that He is there, that He is still God, and that He is still in control. When you feel like going crazy, anybody there yet? Just laugh and say to yourself, "Self, I'm not going to let the craziness of my life dictate my feelings. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in His love. I'm going to trust in His power. I'm going to trust in His control over my life and simply wait." It is amazing what our minds can overcome when we simply allow it to speak these words, "My God is in control." There's a song, a worship song, not a Christmas song, that I have really come to love over the past several months. Actually, I first heard it last year, near the end of last year, and this year I've listened to it many, 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 many times. It's called Psalm 46. It's subtitled "The Lord of Hosts." I want to play it for you. We're going to put the words on the screen so you can follow along. If you feel like singing it out, sing it out. But this is simply a song, a cry to God, a cry to the world of the fact. It is stating the fact that the Lord of hosts is with us. No matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, our God is in control. Jesus be your peace this Christmas season. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be clung to, but made himself nothing, taking on the very form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. Therefore, God has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, Jesus is our peace, our Prince of Peace, the one through whom we have peace with you. We have right relationship with you. We have been given, we have been granted access into your peace. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to develop in our hearts unimaginable peace. Peace that goes beyond the circumstances. Peace that goes beyond the crazy. Peace that goes beyond all of those things that vie for our attention. May we focus solely on you, God. Solely on Christ, who came to restore the relationship that we had lost through sin. May we simply rest in your peace. In Jesus' name I pray.